Amen. The book of Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter number 1. And I want to express my gratitude again as you're turning there for the invitation to be with you tonight in the camp meeting. This is a pleasure and a privilege, and I know that this is a work, no doubt, for all these preachers and Brother Clifford and these others that are assisting and with getting the camp meeting moving and going. And I know that they labor hard in these days and plan throughout the year, and I just want to express my gratitude for them and as well as you being here tonight. This is my first year getting to come to the camp meeting. I didn't grow up in this area. I didn't grow up in the area I pastor now. I grew up over in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And since coming to this region, the foothills, and seeing the upstate of South Carolina, the Lord has showed me that old-time religion is alive and well. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Thankful for my heritage. Thankful for my wife and my youngins. And thankful for some of our crowd coming over tonight from the tabernacle. Good to have them with us. And appreciate all of you being here in the service. Appreciate you taking time to be in the meeting. And I'm thankful tonight more than anything for my salvation and God's saving. Amen. The book of Hebrews tonight, Hebrews and chapter number 1. And I'm going to be like that feller that had 8 wives. I won't keep you that long. I'm just going to take a little time tonight. I preach, and when I'm done, I'm done. I've learned in preaching, when you're done, just sit down and shut up. You make it worse. And so I just, you pray God will tell me when, show me when I need to sit down and be quiet. So, amen. But I pray for the breath of heaven tonight on ourselves. And I appreciate the good choir singing tonight. What a blessing that was. And I thank God for his blessings upon us. The book of Hebrews tonight and chapter number 1. This message has been in my heart today while just praying about what to preach to you. This is where my mind's been taken to, Hebrews and chapter number 1. I'm just going to emphasize verses 3 and 4, but I want to pick up in verse 1 and we'll read down to verse number 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says God. Well, what a great way to start off the book. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And here it is, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. If the Lord will be pleased to help me tonight, I want to preach on those three words that we find there in verse 4, where the Bible says that Jesus is so much better. So much better. Let's bow our heads one more time for prayer tonight. Our God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and thank you for this privilege, Lord, to preach one more time on this side of eternity. Thank you, God, for the access we have to the throne of grace. Lord, we believe tonight that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord helps us tonight. God, I pray you'd take these black words off of this white paper and throw it into our heart tonight. And Lord, let us live out of the overflow as that man last night we talked about there in Acts chapter 3. I pray, God, that you would have liberty tonight, that you'd give us, Lord, what we need from the glory world, Father. I pray that one more time that you would open the floodgates of heaven and pull back the curtains of glory. And God, let the heavenly sunlight of God shine down upon our hearts. God, take us to that fountain tonight that we might drink. God, pull us up to the table that we might eat. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live in our birthright tonight as we look into the blessed word of God. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all the people said amen.
Amen.
Here in this wonderful, amazing book, we find, as one writer said, the fifth gospel. One writer told, as I was reading, said in the first four gospels, we find Christ's ministry on earth. Whereas here in this fifth gospel, we find Christ's ministry in heaven. By reason of background or context, by way of context rather, we find that the writer of Hebrews, who goes unnamed, is writing to a congregation that is in a location that is unnamed, and he is seeking to encourage the people to stay the gospel way. There is this great religious pressure, this great secular pressure as well that has come upon them that is seeking to encourage them to leave the gospel way and to return back to a works-based religious system. And I love what the writer of Hebrews does in this book in order to constrain the people and compel them to come back to where God would have them to be. He doesn't seek to manipulate. He doesn't use any form of pragmatism, but rather he just simply makes much of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks to us about this royal high priest, this one who was born of a virgin and lived and died and went on into heaven and has transferred himself into that third glory world. And it's there he now abides as our royal high priest. And by simply fixing our eyes upon him, we can find endurance in days of struggle. And I believe tonight, if there was ever a day that we needed to get back to understanding not just what Christ has done, but what Christ is now doing, that day is most certainly today. I'm glad tonight that the atonement didn't stop there in Jerusalem, but thank God there is a ever-present, ever-living, personal, present body that pleads our salvation tonight in the throne room of God. So the writer is seeking to magnify, he's seeking to lift up high the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he begins to contrast Jesus, as you preachers know, with those of the old covenant, those men and those vessels and those ceremonies and traditions, if you will. And he begins to show them that it would be crazy to leave the substance for the shadow. It would be crazy to abandon what Moses was looking forward to go back to what Moses was dealing with. And so he brightens up their hearts. He seeks to magnify the intercessory work of Christ. And here in our text tonight, he says first and foremost that you need to understand that Jesus is so much better than the angels. The word better in our text is derived from a Greek word which means to be superior to or much more greater than. The word is found 18 times in the New Testament, and 12 of those times it is found in the book of Hebrews. In other words, the writer is making the case to his readers that Jesus is better, and he's not just better, he is so much better than anything this world or works-based religion could ever hope to offer. My mind goes back to the first man and the first woman who had fallen into sin there in the garden, and they were hiding from God. You know the story. And they had them fig leaves, and there God walks up to them and says, I've got something so much better. The Bible says he covered their shame and their nakedness with animal skins, as he had taken off of them animals and put upon them. When the children of Israel had walked out of Egypt under the mighty hand of God, they came to that Red Sea and looked beyond looked to the Red Sea and saw a wall there, and they saw that they had no way of escape from the Egyptian army that was becoming upon them. And they thought to themselves, we're going to have to fight our way out of this fiasco. But the man Moses came and said, look, God's got something so much better. And he turned the Red Sea into a red carpet. When the woman at the well wanted a drink of water, all she wanted was to fill her water pot and to go home and sin. But Jesus, waiting there at the Shinar well, said unto the woman, I got something so much better. The Lord gave the woman a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When the poor man sat day by day at the temple, as we saw last night, he just wanted some silver and gold, did he not? And the apostle said, silver and gold have we none, but we got something so much better. And at the end of the story, the man was worshiping out of the overflow of his interaction with God. I'm thankful we serve not just a better Jesus, not just a much better Jesus, but according to the scripture, we serve a so much better Jesus. You say, why and how is Jesus so much better? Well, if the Lord would be pleased to help me, I want to show you that tonight from the Word of God. The first thing I'd say is that Jesus is so much better, according to our text, because his wonder is featured. Verse number 3, from what I've read, is the reason the Arians in the 3rd century rejected the book of Hebrews as being authoritative. They didn't want this letter in the New Testament simply because of how explicit verse 3 is in stating the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In reference to Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You see that? The word translated brightness denotes that of radiating forth. In our text, we see an analogy of astrology being used in order to establish this divine identity of Christ's person. The writer of Hebrews is saying that what the radiation of light is to the sun, so likewise is Jesus to God. He tells us that the writer does that the radiation of light, so likewise does Jesus relate to that. Just as the sun has never existed apart from its brightness, so also has God never existed without Jesus. Amen. Just as the brightness of the sun is distinct from, but also of the same essence and substance as the sun, so too is Christ distinct from God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, yet still subsisting in one nature with God. As Spurgeon said, there is not any glory in God but what is also in Christ. The light which radiates from the sun is a communicator of what the sun is. This is why the writer of Hebrews calls Christ the express image of God. The light which radiates from the sun reveals the power of the sun, if you will. The sun's reality. It shows forth that the sun is what it is. Jesus said it this way in 14:9 of John's gospel. When Thomas had asked if he could see the Father, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." In 10:30 of John, Christ stated, "I and my Father are one." And just like man knowing the sun in the sky by reason of the light that shines from it, so too has Christ come forth from heaven to show us God. The sun is experienced in the rays of light. God is experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ features God. I believe Paul believed that. He said there in Colossians 2:9 that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If He was God then, He's God now. The angel told the Joseph that when he gets here, he shall call his name Emmanuel, which being God, interpreted as God with us. Thank God the glory of God was set forth in the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time. That majestic God, that sovereign God, that holy God, that omnipotent God, that omniscient God, that omnipresent God, self-existent God, that holy, holy, holy God came down to this microscopic piece of dirt. And He tabernacled among the fallen sons of men. He became the meeting place, if you will. Heaven's bread in Bethlehem's manger. Brother, that was God in that in that feeding trough. That was the one who had rolled out the red carpet there for the Israelites at the Red Sea. This is the one who had fed manna from heaven and pushed water out of a rock. This is the same God, brother, who before anything was, created everything. Out because of, listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. That's God. He's the express image of God. He's still God. And thank God tonight, He's so much better. The writer of Hebrews is saying, why in the world would you want to go back to a turtle dove or a sheep or a goat when you got God? I want to look at my people sometimes. This crazy crowd, they want to say, "Well, preacher, I'm a good old boy." Honey, you're good for nothing but hell unless you've been born again. You got this crowd today that wants to depend on their works. I want to say, why look at your works when you can look at God? Why work up your salvation when you can't? The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. But thank God Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Thank God God made the sacrifice. It was God that did it, and it's God that keeps it. And because of that, He's so much better. Amen. Amen. 19th century Princeton professor and preacher B.B. Warfield, he states it right. He said the glory of the incarnation is that it presents to our adoring gaze not a humanized God or a deified man, but a true God-man. One who is all that God is, at the same time all that man is. One on whom almighty arm we can rest, and to whose human sympathy we can appeal. Hallelujah. I suppose the greatest illustration of the incarnation that I could give to you from a human perspective, from our perspective, from a story is is this little story of a girl who cried out to her mother from her bedroom one night. She was afraid. She said, "Mommy, I'm afraid to be in this dark room here by myself." Her mama replied, saying, "Honey, it's all right. God's in there with you." The little girl called back and said, "Yes, Mama, but I need somebody in here who's got skin on." Amen. Say, "Preacher, what is the incarnation? It's God putting skin on." Amen. Deity robing himself in perfect humanity, that he might present before God a perfect offering, so that sinners like you and me might have the blessed privilege to come on a Tuesday night to a tabernacle and lift an unworthy hand and know, thank God, our salvation is secure. Not because we're Baptist, not because we're religious, but because there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners can plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. Amen. I've got to go on. He's so much better. Thank God, his wonder is featured. But number two, he's so much better because his word is faithful. The Bible says that this Jesus, this one who radiates and bears the express image of God, he also, the Bible says in verse 3, upholds all things by the word of his power. That word translated upholds, it's a word that means more than just bearing a load or taking up to carry. The word more so denotes that of preservation and purpose. The word was often used in Bible times, as I read, to describe the moving of a ship by the wind. Thus, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, Jesus is not just holding things up, but he's also carrying things out. He's moving things forward. Somebody said, "What things?" All things. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All things. He upholds all things. And it says there, noticing how the word upholds is used in this text in the present tense, thus indicating that Christ is presently, at this very moment, upholding all material and immaterial matter. In this moment, he's carrying, sustaining, and progressing all things in motion toward God's eternal, wise, holy, and high purposes. Amen. Somebody said, "How does he do that?" Our text says, by the word of his power. Hallelujah. By the word of his power. How many times has this book carried you? Amen. Woo! Whenever I'm discouraged, I'm glad I can read this book. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Whenever the money may be a falling short, I'm glad I can read. Thank God that he will supply all our need in according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When death comes my way, I don't have to fear, because Jesus stood there in John 11 and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad I got a book tonight that can carry me. And it's not just carrying me, but it's carrying this whole world straight into the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what does that make you want to do?" It makes me want to preach this Bible is what it makes me want to do. It makes me want to lift up high this infallible, inerrant, preserved, holy, good book of God. Amen. So much better. Brother Clifford, I remember when I was at Bible college, when I got saved when I was 17, and I was 19 years old, and I went to Fruitland, and I didn't go because I felt called. I went because I had nowhere to live, and I went to school, and I'll just be honest with you, I got discouraged. I didn't understand a lot of things. My head got to hanging low. And finally, one night, I found myself down there in that prayer altar in that old chapel right beside the dorm rooms. And I got to calling out to God. I mean, I got to praying. Yeah. And I started praying, and I said, "Lord," and I started telling God things. Yeah. I started quoting scripture to God like God don't know his own Bible. I said, "Lord, you called me here. And Lord, you told me you'd take care of me. And Lord, I just feel so alone." I get to praying some more. I said, "Lord God, I feel so alone." I get to complain a little more, and I say, "God, I feel so alone." Yeah. About that time, the Holy Ghost rubbed up beside me, and he said, "If you're so alone, who are you talking to?" Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Preacher, where do you get that? I get it from the book. Yeah. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You see, then pigeons and those turtle doves and those goats and all those other, they couldn't stay with you. They were given to cover sin for a season, but they could not stay. They could not abide with the people. But this royal high priest, thank God, hallelujah, by through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's taken up residence in our heart, and he's so much better. I said so much better. He won't leave you. He won't walk out. He's here to stay. Hey, thank God he's not a convenient friend. He's the best friend. He's so much better. So much better. Say this number three tonight. He's better, so much better. Not just because his wonder is featured and his word is faithful. So much we could say there. But he's so much better according to verse 3. Because his work is finished. Amen. Somebody hold my donkey while I shout a little bit. The Bible says of Jesus in verse 3. You preachers can help me here, can't you? When he had by himself purged our sins. Here it is, brethren. Sat down. Sat down. I said sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know what I'm talking about. Hey man, that royal high priest or that high priest would go in there and he'd present the sin offering, but the next year he'd come back. Amen. It was never fully complete. There was no chairs in that tabernacle. Why? Because the high priest's work was never done. But the scripture says that this royal high priest, this one that's so much better, he has not only given atonement for sin, but he took that precious offering on into the third heaven, and he is now shut down at the right hand of God on high. At the cross, Jesus said it. He didn't say, I am finished, but he said, it is finished. Thank God. He satisfied the sin debt. He qualified himself to be the royal high priest, and that's why he's so much better. So much better. I like that. It's finished. Sin's wages, hallelujah, have been fully paid. The just has been given for the unjust. The righteous demands of God's law have been met. And the wrath of God has been stayed on our behalf. Hallelujah. Atonement has been provided. The earth is shaken. The tombs were opened. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Why? Because it's finished. Access to God. Full open access has been granted. Why? Because it's finished. Redeemed sinners can now enter into the throne room of grace with boldness. Why? Because it's finished. Old Testament shadows have been brought to light. The serpent's head has been crushed. If you were to go and look on the backside of Satan's head, you'd see a nail-scarred footprint, brother. Amen. Abel's offering has been accepted. Noah's ark has withstood the storm. The ram in the thicket has come forth. Jacob's ladder has come down. There's a meal barrel down there in Zarephath. David's stone has hit its mark. Righteousness and peace have met together and kissed each other. Why, preacher? Because it's finished. Amen. The old dragon has been defeated. A middle wall of partition has been torn down. There's blood, eternal blood, on the mercy seat of God. The handwriting of ordinances has been put away. The chains of iniquity have been broken. Why, preacher? Because it's finished. Amen. Righteousness is acquired. We've escaped hell. Eternal life is ours. Forgiveness is ours. Holiness is ours. Glory is ours. Joy, happiness, peace, adoption, justification, reconciliation, propitiation, fullness is ours. Why? Because it's finished. Sinners are made fit for the kingdom. God is now our Father. Jesus our Savior. The Holy Ghost our Comforter. The church our family. The Bible our promise. Why, preacher? Because it's finished. I'm eternally secure. I'm given a new name. I'm part of the blood-washed bride. One day I'm going to a marriage supper. Hallelujah. I'll wear a robe of righteousness. I'll stand with that innumerable multitude in the blazing sunlight of divine presence, and I'll wave my palm branch. Why? Because it's finished. you look back and the Bible says that Adam was the first Adam and then Jesus is the second Adam. And I got to thinking about them two Adams there. I think about that first Adam out there in them trees. There he is hiding. And he says to God, don't blame me, blame my wife. Amen. He must have been a Baptist. He said, don't blame me, blame my wife. Fast forward 4,000 years later in the trees, there's that second Adam. And he's saying, don't blame my wife, blame me. Amen. Woo! What is he saying, preacher? Imputed righteousness, thank God, has been put onto our account. Amen. There's therefore now, right now, no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord, who shall lay any charge to God's elect. Hallelujah. It's God that justified. He's the one that paid it all. He's the one that satisfied the wrath of God. He's the one that paved the way. Does anybody remember what it is? Thank God to be saved by the good grace of Almighty God. Honey, we're heaven bound tonight, not because of who we are, but because Jesus is so much better. Amen. I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. From the bleeding side of our Savior comes that Red River of redemption. Thank God, as a 17-year-old boy, I got in. I want to share this with you tonight, and I'll sit down. I got saved when I was 17 years old. I grew up in group homes and detention centers and homeless shelters. And boy, I was in a mess all the time, fighting and doing dumb things. Had a stepdaddy that was a drunk and a dope head. Mama couldn't do nothing with him. And long story short, I was playing football at North Buncombe High School, Brother Clifford. And it was my junior year, sophomore year, I can't remember, junior year, I believe. And this football coach named Clayton Castile, I call him Coach, walked up to me and he said, Ronald, he said, I feel like I need to take you to church. He said, I want you to go to church with me. I said, I ain't going to church with you. He said, I'll take you out there to that Chinese buffet if you'll go with me. I said, let's go to church. Amen. And Coach come to the trailer park and he picked me up on that Sunday morning. And he took me down there to Wolf Laurel. Some of y'all may know where that's at. Up in Wolf Laurel, up in the mountains, he pastored Laurel Bend Baptist Church. And I went in there and I wore a Michelob Light shirt. Not just because it was on the shirt I had, but because I wanted a reason not to come back. And I walked in there. There's probably 20, 30 people, brother. And as I walked in, I'll never forget, as I come in there, them folks come around me. And you thought they'd known me my whole life. They wrapped their arms around me. Said, Brother Ronald, it's good to have you here in the church today. Man, they made me feel all weird. And we went to go eat afterwards. He kept his promise, took me to that Chinese buffet. And I said to him, I said, y'all ain't got church tonight, do you? He said, we actually do. You want to come back? I said, I think I'll come back. Long story short, I got into the church that night and kept going and kept going. And one night on the side of the road at Weaverville Tire Station, the Holy Ghost of God saved my ever-dying soul. I could tell you that story and what God did. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, I kept going to church and going to church. A long story short, I'm ashamed to tell you, I got in a fight about a week after I got saved. I was at the high school, and I say this with shame in my heart. I ain't proud of what happened. We was playing basketball, and old boy shot his mouth off, and I got mad, and I hit him. And I did this, and you say, that can't happen if you're saved. Well, I know I was saved, and I did it. And I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I went down there to coach's class. He taught shop. I went down there to coach's class. I didn't know about eternal security. I said, Coach, I'm going to hell. I mean, I'm in bad shape. Coach said, what happened? I said, I got in a fight up there. He put his head down and said, Ronald. And I'd been known for doing stupid stuff before, but now I'm saved. And he said, Ronald. He said, they're going to get you for this. I said, I know. And about that time, I saw the ambulance pull up. And I didn't realize I'd hit the boy as hard as I did. They were taking him to the hospital. And long story short, he had to stay a few nights in the hospital and have surgery, all this. And they come to me and they kicked me out of school. said, you're going to be kicked out of school for OSS, and I deserved it. They said, but when you get out of school, this ain't over. They're going to probably file charges on you. And boy, I thought, my soul, oh, man. And long story short, I got back in school after OSS. They put me back in school, and I was in class. And here come the resource officer. And he come into the classroom, and he said, I thought, oh, no. The resource officer, Brother Clifford, took me into the principal's office. And I walked in, and there was that principal, and there was that boy that I'd hit his mama, and there was his daddy. And then there was that resource officer, and here's this deadbeat boy with no defense. And I went in there, and I sat down, and man, rightfully so, the mother just started letting me have it. Just like I think my wife would do, just like I'd probably do. And she said, you hurt my boy? She said he's had to have surgeries and all this. And she just started waylaying on me. And she said, I'm going to tell you right now. She said, we ain't going to go easy on you. And long story short, I looked through the glass of the hallway, and here come that football coach. And he saw me in there sitting down by myself with those people. And he come in, and he just walked in. And he looked at that woman, and he said, well, hey, Karen. She said, hey, Clayton. And he looked at the husband, and he said, hey, to him. And he said, what's going on? And they told him what had happened. And Coach said, yeah, I heard about this. He said, I'm going to ask you as a favor for me. And he sat down beside me. He said, I'm going to ask you as a favor for me. He said, I've been working on this boy. He said, God saved him a couple of weeks ago. And he ain't perfect. He said, he ain't got nobody. He's out there at that trailer park in Weaverville living by himself. 17 years old, he said, this boy ain't got nothing. And he said, I'm trying to help him. And he said, I'm asking you as a favor for me. Will you let him go? And that mama kind of gritted her teeth a little bit. Daddy gritted his teeth. They looked at each other. And that mama looked at me and she said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, if it wasn't for that man right there, she said, you'd be going to jail right now. She said, we're not going to file charges. And she got up and walked out. And that man and her husband got up and walked out. And that principal got up and walked out. And that resource officer got up and walked out. I felt like that woman in John chapter 8. And Coach looked at me and said, boy, he says, where's them folks that was mad at you? I said, I don't see them. He said, I don't see them either. Get your hind end back to class. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I went back to class with a smile on my face. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, I'm glad, thank God, that Coach came in on my behalf. But even more than that, I'm glad I've got a royal high priest whose name is Jesus Christ. And brother, I should have went to hell. I should be in hell tonight screaming for a glass of ice water. I should be there with my back broke. I mean, I should be in hell, the hottest part of hell. But thank God the Bible said we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ. And by reason of his blood, we get to go in with God. We get to worship God. We get to go free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, hallelujah. Amen. I just come here tonight to tell you, he's so much better. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the Christ that day sprang from on high. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the great high priest. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, thank God. He's the road to righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the pathway to peace. He's the highway to holiness. There is no other way to get to God. Why? Because there's nobody who's sufficient more so than Jesus himself. So much better, because his wonder is featured. Hallelujah. I said his word is faithful and his work is finished. He paid it all. Let's stand together tonight. Pastor, you come. Thank y'all for letting me preach to you for a few nights.